Good job. Last hour, I was sitting in the back when Heinz was talking, and I watched all these people go on their phones to look up beer advent calendar. It was kind of interesting. Oh, and the youth. That's why Dan's with. I thought, hi, Dan, how you doing? Junior high, high school, go out. Thank you. Do not get a beer advent calendar. That's it. Well, I don't know about you, but I like coming here for many reasons. But I think for me, at Christmas time, it just kind of recenters me on what Christmas is about. It refocuses me on what's important. It just kind of sets my pace for my week. And as I was thinking about the Christmas stories that I've heard again and again, it made me think of when I was younger. We did not have beer advent calendars in the home I grew up in. But I was thinking, think back now. I'll tell you, let's do it this way. Think back to when you were 13, okay? Now, for some of you, that's a little harder than the rest. But just think back to when you were 13, okay? And you got that picture in your mind? Okay, so when you were 13, what did you dream of becoming? Did you want to change the world? Did you have a career in mind of what you wanted to do? Did you think you'd get married? And did God have a part in your life, or did you want Him to be? Did you dream big dreams? I think when I was 13, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I mean, my age 13, everybody wanted to be a professional baseball player, right? That was it. I had no idea what my future would hold. And I remember, though, I remember when that point in my relationship with God, I thought, okay, you know, I want God to do something big in my life, right? And I remember, I wanted to make sure He was there. So about that time, I started praying quietly because I thought, well, I want to see if God can really hear me. I'm not sure how I proved anything with that, but I did. I stopped praying out loud at age 13. It was an interesting thing for me. And then I thought, you know what? The one thing I do remember praying for is that I always wanted to pray for God to do some amazing miracle in my life. Do something so big that I would have to say He was real. Now, when you think about Mary's story, Mary was about, we're told, 13 years of age when the angel came and visited her. And I would think that Mary might have been one of those people who prayed for God to do some big miracle in her life. But I would guess that she never in a million years would have imagined that the amazing miracle that God did was what actually happened. Right? I mean, you think about that, you know, and Mary's life, if you think about the life of a young girl back in Jesus' day, this is really before Jesus, a young girl back in that time, her life was kind of predictable. At age 13, actually, she was thinking of marriage, that most young women in that culture were married at about age 13. Think about that. I mean, and so for her life, age 13, she knew what was coming next. Because in her community, it was kind of a standard thing that you got engaged, you raise a family, and that was your life. And so at age 13, she had kind of a predictable life. She was engaged, or betrothed, as they said, to a man named Joseph. Now, in that culture, it wasn't unusual for a bride to be about 13. We're told that Joseph was probably in his early 20s. So that was pretty standard back then. And the one thing we know about Joseph is that he was a righteous man. He was a good man. So Mary had a good man, and they were officially engaged or betrothed. It was a formal agreement. In fact, once you were betrothed, it began a year-long process where there was a written agreement, and you were considered married, even though you did not consummate your marriage until the wedding day. And so you were considered, she was considered to be Joseph's wife. Right? And so here's the thing, is that for Mary, her life was secure. It was predictable. And yet God saw a much bigger picture for Mary. And that's what I want to read for you today. It's found in Luke chapter 1. You've probably heard it before, but let me just share it with you one more time. And I'm just going to pray that God shows you His bigger picture for you and it all as well. It says this, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Well, Mary is greatly troubled at his words. That's an understatement. And wondered what kind of greeting this must be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Well, how will this be, Mary's asked the angel, since I am a virgin? I mean, that's a fair question. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. So let's just kind of take that whole scene in. I mean, here is Mary, and she is someone who loves God. She hasn't really had much of a time to build up a resume, right? It's not like she's had a career or anything like this. I mean, in fact, the only thing they say about Mary that we know about her is that she was a virgin. That's it. That's her claim to fame, right? And that's all we know about Mary up to this point. And yet, here's the thing, is that Mary was favored by God. Not because she had a lot of wealth, not because she had a lot of notoriety, but it's just because God had chosen her. See, that's the thing, when I read the story, I imagine Mary, you know, thought, you know, God's coming to me? I mean, who am I? I mean, God goes to other people. God doesn't certainly do things like this in my life. And yet Mary was open to whatever God wanted to do. I mean, it's kind of like, are you sure, God? And then, you know, the angel says, you know what? You have received, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. I mean, see, that's the thing. Mary received grace, not because she was more worthy, but because when God saw her, he saw a special child. Years ago, I read this book called The Shack, and it was a journey about a man who had a kind of face-to-face encounter with God. And his friend told him, because he knew he was a religious person, he said, if you ever meet God, tell him hi for me, ask him what he thinks of me, or something like that, you know. And so this guy has this incredible encounter with God, and he comes back, and he's actually in a hospital room, and his friend comes to see him. And his friend just was relieved he was okay, and he said, so did you talk to God? And he said, yes, I did. And his friend kind of jokingly said, well, did he mention me? And he said, well, yes, he did. And his friend's kind of shocked. He said, well, what did he say? And he said, well, he said, he's especially fond of you. And I thought of that. I always love that line in that story because I think that's what God thinks when he sees you. I think God is especially fond of you. And I think that's what Mary must have felt that day, that God was especially fond of her. She was his child, and when he saw her, he did not forget who she was. He knew her by name, just as he knows you by name. He knew everything about her. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your joys, your sorrows, your disappointments, your disillusions, but he's especially fond of you, and God has not forgotten you. He knows you by name. And so certainly Mary sees that God cares for her. Not because of anything she did to earn his favor, but just because she was chosen by him. And now what we see with Mary is, you know, what's happened here is beyond anything she could have expected. I mean, if she was praying for God to do some miracle in her life, surely it couldn't have been this. Right? This was beyond anything she could have thought. And this is definitely something that was beyond her control. I mean, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. I mean, the angel just says it just like, well, this happens every day. But see, here's the thing, is I think that we have, you know, our lives all figured out, right? We have our plans that we think we're going to do and the things we think that are going to happen, and we have it all set up. And then things sometimes don't go according to plan. But here's the thing, Mary was kind of in the middle of the storm, but she was in the middle of God's will. This is something entirely out of her control. I mean, how many of you are parents? Right? Okay. And you know, you have kids. Things are out of your control. You know, my son and daughter-in-law just told us a little while ago that they're not going to have their second baby. So I'm going to be, yeah, I had nothing to do with this. So, you know, and one of the things my son loves, right, this baby's now going to be due in June, so this will be our second grandchild. And they love, because they'll find out in a couple weeks if it's going to be a boy or girl. And they just love not telling me. They think it's great. Dad, this is one thing you can't control. And they're absolutely right. And so I said, don't worry, you know, I'm praying for you and little Sean. And, you know, and that's all there is to it. But, you know, here's they don't know when the baby's going to come. They got a rough date. They don't know exactly. They don't know how it's all going to work out. I mean, when you have a baby, you know, when you have children, you've got the plan of how it's going to be. And I remember when I was a youth pastor, I used to, you know, before we had children, I would give a talk to parents. I would talk about the 10 irrefutable laws of parenting. And now, if I give a talk, it's like, 50 things you might try. You know, it's just, it just doesn't go according to plan. And so here's Mary. I mean, her life is now turned upside down. She has lost all control. She has nothing that she can do to control, to direct, to fix, to whatever. But here's the thing. God is doing something so much beyond her comprehension that she is just blown away. I mean, I find it interesting at that point. You know, last week we talked about Zechariah, and his God seemed to be a little too small, right? When the angel told him that he and Elizabeth had had a baby, something they'd been praying for a long time, right? He responded with skepticism, right? Oh, come on, this isn't going to happen. No way. And Mary asks the same question. She says, how can this be? But it's a whole different meaning. You know, it's not with skepticism, it's with wonder and awe. Wow, God, how are you going to do this? Because she has no idea. I mean, it's a pretty fair question. I mean, she says, you know, just out of curiosity, you know, I haven't taken the upper division biology classes yet. You know, I'm only 13, right? And just out of curiosity, you know, how can this be? Because I don't know if you know this, but I'm a virgin. Pretty fair question. And the angel just kind of lays it out. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you're going to have a son. Now the angel could have stopped there, right? Could have stopped there, end of story, answered a question, done. But he does something that's kind of unexpected, I think. He goes on to tell her just who this child is going to be. He didn't have to do that, by the way. But I think the angel knew that Mary was coming on a time of her life that was going to be quite different than anything she had planned. And so he wants her to know the full significance of this. So he says, look, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. If you don't remember anything else this morning, that's the phrase I want you to remember this morning. Because those are just five words that will change your life. Six words. Okay. For nothing is impossible with God. I mean, Mary could just say, you know, how am I going to take care of this baby? I don't have any means. I'm probably going to lose my fiance. You know, but Mary, nothing is impossible with God. But you don't understand. I don't know how I'm going to provide. I don't know what I'm going to do. Nothing is impossible with God. And you might say that yourself. You know, look, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to probably lose my job after Christmas, but nothing is impossible with God. How's God going to take care of me? Nothing is impossible with God. My family's in a shambles. What do I do? Nothing is impossible with God. I don't know how to fix it, Lord. Nothing is impossible with God. And some of you might be saying this morning, you know what? I don't know if I even believe this whole Immaculate Conception stuff. I mean, come on. Why would God do it? Why would God not do this? Why would God's Son not come in a miraculous way? For nothing is impossible with God. You say, how could God do this? You don't think God can make a girl pregnant? You don't think God can raise the dead? How big is your God? And see, here's the thing, is that Mary has so many unanswered questions. But the biggest part of this story is not just that a baby is coming, though that's pretty spectacular. Not just who this baby is going to be, though that's pretty incredible. The most incredible part of this story to me is that Mary, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of maybe some fearful things that she knew would be coming as a result of this, she chose to trust God. You see, her God was much bigger. And I wonder today, how big is your God? You might be facing something impossible. You might be facing something you don't understand. You might be feeling all alone. But you see, nothing is impossible with God. And God wants to be with you to do the impossible. And so when I look at this and we see, who is this Jesus? Well, he has position. He's the Son of the Most High. He has authority. I mean, he's going to be seated on the throne of his father David and will reign forever and ever. His kingdom will never end. He has divine ties. He is the Son of God. And when I look at this passage, when I see what's going on, you see Mary's dilemma. I mean, here's this 13-year-old girl, and this is probably a little beyond the normal questions that she has to ask in a day. This is well beyond her pay grade, right? I mean, so here she is at 13 years of age. She doesn't even know what she's going to do for her future, except that she's got Joseph's life, she thinks, right? And so Mary's got a dilemma. She's got to say, will I submit to God's bigger plan? Will I submit to his authority in my life? Will I allow him to intervene and change my life plans, even when it's uncomfortable? You see, there are two things here that Mary's got to deal with, right? She's got to deal with, do I really want to accept this baby in my life? Do I really want to trust God for this? And the other is, how am I going to deal with my family on this? You see, in Mary's day, it was very much an honor-shame culture. Family honor was everything. And a first-century family would do anything to maintain the honor and integrity of the family name. Anything that brought shame to the family needed to be dealt with quickly and without hesitation. So for example, Joseph, her fiancé, who's going to be obviously pretty ticked about this, that in his culture, he had every right to have Mary put to death. That's the type of culture that she lived in. Now, originally he chose just to have her put away quietly. And of course, then the angel spoke to him, and God had a plan for his life. And so Mary's got this dilemma. She says, you know, I can walk away from this, right? I mean, she might have thought that. But not once did she hesitate. Not once did she hesitate. See, Mary made a choice, and this was her choice. Yes, God. Yes, God. Even when I don't understand, I choose to follow your ways and not my own. You are bigger than the problems that I am facing. You are the one in whom I put my trust. And so she does what I guess most of us would do. She needed a little time to think this through. But Mary's response was very clear-forward, very straightforward. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And the angel goes, well, now what? And what do you do next? So, you know, it's interesting to me that next she says, well, what do you do? Well, I'm going to go see my cousin Elizabeth. Because she knew that she could trust Elizabeth. She knew that Elizabeth put her faith in God too. And so she goes to Elizabeth, and it wasn't like she could just take an Uber ride, right? I mean, this was a long walk. Okay, this was several days' walk. And so you imagine she had lots of time to think about this. And I imagine all the consequences and the fears and all these things are welling up inside her. And she's like, how am I going to deal with this? I'm going to be all alone. And it goes on and on. And she gets to Elizabeth, and what happens? Elizabeth says, shame on you. No, she doesn't. Elizabeth, when she hears maybe Mary's greeting, it says the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women. Can you imagine Mary just coming there, and she's just like not even knowing what to say? And as soon as Elizabeth sees her, she said, blessed are you among women. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Oh, I love Elizabeth, because Elizabeth stands with Mary in faith and says, God's going to do this amazing thing, and he's going to do it with you, and I stand with you, and I'm a part of your story, and it is a joy. Question, do you have an Elizabeth in your life? Do you have someone you could go to when you're not sure where to turn? Do you have someone who will rejoice in God's presence in your life? You know, I think that's one of the reasons we're a church. I think to walk alongside each other on our journeys even when it gets hard. And I don't know who your Elizabeth is, but I hope you have another person who can pray for you when you go through the tough times. I hope you can be Elizabeth. I mean, that sounds a little weird for some of you, but you can be Elizabeth as someone else. Someone who will be an encourager and a prayer support, someone you could go to when you're going through some big, hard issues. And see, here's the thing, that after she talks to Elizabeth and asks her, Elizabeth encourages her. I mean, she stays with her for several months. I mean, that's a long time to be with your cousin, right? That's like a huge slumber party. And she stays with her for 7 months. But then what happens next is that Mary's heart is just filled with joy. And so we say that after Elizabeth gives this incredible greeting, it says, and Mary said, and then she does this incredible, we call Mary's song, and it says this. It says, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has, by the way, in this passage, you'll see six times where she says he has. Not he might, not he could, but he has. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Now listen to this. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud of their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Now I look at that, and I look at what Mary does next. It's just phenomenal. Because unlike Zechariah, who had to be silent for 9 months until he could praise God, because he doubted, Mary just says, God, I don't know what this means, but I'm in. I'm in. May it be to me as you have said. And so Mary chooses to go forward in trust and belief. It was interesting, last week, after last week's message, I had a conversation with someone. And they said, you know, I think you're sharing bad theology. That kind of caught me a little off guard. I said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, you talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth and all their disappointments and disillusionments and how God met them and you know, said, look, your prayers have been heard, and they had this baby. And that's great. And they said, there's nothing wrong with that. But what do you say to the person who prays and they don't have the baby? What do you say for the person whose marriage is on the rocks and the marriage doesn't work out? What do you say for the person who waits to be reconciled with their child and it doesn't happen? What do you say to the sick person who dies? Are you saying that just because they don't get what they want, that God is not there? And see, that's not the point of the story, is it? I mean, see, here's the truth of the story is that, yes, it was an incredible thing that Zechariah and Elizabeth had John the Baptist. Yes, it's incredible that Mary had Jesus. But is that really the main focal point of the story? Or is it that these people stood out in trust and belief when nothing made sense and said, God, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm in. And I think that's the thing I want to say to you. Now, I believe that God does answer prayer. I believe that God does do the impossible. But sometimes when you're waiting for that miracle and it doesn't seem to appear, what are you going to do in that time? You're going to say, God, you have forgotten me. The heck with you. I'm out of here. You don't do that. Because the truth is that for most of us here, our lives have not turned out maybe the way that we thought it would. Maybe not exactly as we had planned. Does that mean God cares for us any less? Does that mean God is not present? You see, at this point in the journey, all Mary knows is she's going to have a baby. She doesn't know all that's coming up. She has a lot of uncertainty. She's not sure yet what Joseph is going to say. She doesn't know what her future is going to look like. But here she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And that was the most important statement she could have ever said. I am the Lord's servant. She chose trust and belief, and her character reflected the character of God. You see, at the end of the day, Mary said, I choose God. I choose to follow him no matter what comes my way. No matter what uncertainties or fears I have, I'll choose God because nothing is impossible with God. Mary chose joy, even in the midst of uncertainty. She acknowledges God's goodness and brings attention to him. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She chooses to humbly serve her Lord. She says, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He is worthy of praise. She praises him. From now all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. You see, he's touched her life. And she chooses to fear God. You know what I mean when I say fear God? She chooses to let God be the one that she wants to honor most. There's this reverent and holy awe. She chooses to fear God rather than fear her situation or those who might disapprove. His mercy extends to those who fear him, she says, from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. You see, God keeps his promises. This is a 13-year-old girl. And yet she has chosen the course of her life with one simple statement. I am the Lord's servant. Nothing is impossible with God. She knew that in her heart. You know, last night it was pretty cold. And I drove a family member back to where they were staying. And on my way back, I was thinking about how cold. And I was thinking, oh, but today was the day that the youth group gave out all the jackets. You see, there are two young girls in our church. One of them is Haley Terwilliger. I always forget the name of the other. Her parents were just here. They're really tall. You don't... Well... Ella? Ella? Okay, so Ella, okay. So... Thanks, Echo. So Haley and Ella, and they're about how old? I'm going back to you. He does not know anything. Okay, fourth grade? Okay, fourth grade. So these two girls decided they wanted to make a difference. I mean, at fourth grade, how old is fourth grade? 10? This is pretty, you guys are still not there. Okay, but it's okay. You're my friend and I love you. 10. And these two girls decided that they wanted to do something that most 10-year-olds don't even think of, right? They wanted to make a difference. And so they started collecting jackets for the homeless. And they said, well, how are we going to distribute these? And then they connected with our high school and junior high leaders, and Rachel Porter and Dan Carlock got together a group and said, we'll help distribute them. And they got in contact with Drive-By Christians. And so yesterday, Haley and Ella brought 15 bags of jackets. 15 bags of jackets. I mean, who does this? I mean, how many kids do this in their spare time? Other kids just, you know. Wow. You know, and here these guys... These young girls have chosen to serve the Lord. And I thought, what would I say to them if I had a chance to after they've just done this incredible thing? And I think I'd want to say this. I'd want to say, you know what? That was a great thing you did. You've chosen to serve God and give glory to him. And I just want to pray for you that you would never lose sight of serving the Lord. You see, I think that act set their lives on a course that will change and affect them for the rest of their lives. I mean, it can, right? And they'll have their own choices along the way. But here's the thing, is that they chose to follow the Lord. And I wonder, isn't that what this story tells us? Is that God, no matter where I go, I'm going to choose to follow you. Even when I don't know what's up ahead, I'm going to choose to follow you, for nothing is impossible with God. But God, you don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. Nothing is impossible with God. But God, you understand, my husband, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, they're a mess. What do I do? Nothing is impossible with God. But Lord, my kids don't follow you and they're causing all sorts of trouble. Nothing is impossible with God. Lord, my marriage is on the rocks. What do I do? Nothing is impossible with God. And if you hear nothing else this morning, the thing I want you to hear most of all is that no matter what your situation, no matter what your hurts, no matter what your disillusionment, no matter what your disappointments, you need to know that there is a God who knows you, who is especially fond of you, who knows you by name, and he's here to tell you today that nothing is impossible with God. If he can do that for the life of a 13-year-old girl, surely he can do that for you. You see, Mary has chosen that which was good and true. She chose God no matter what happened to her. She was going to follow him. So I put some questions at the end of this because I do believe that God keeps his promises. And these are the big questions I wrote down. You may have others, but I just said, do I believe that the unexpected surprises and turn of events in my life are a mistake that God did not foresee? Or will I accept and believe that he has a bigger overall plan and purpose for my life? Now say this with me. For nothing is impossible with God. Will I give God total control of the situation in my life in order to give glory to his name? Will I follow his lead? Say it with me. For nothing is impossible with God. Will I accept Jesus into my life and love him as my very own, just as Mary did? Will I consider that? For nothing is impossible with God. Is my God big enough to care for the entire world? Is my God big enough to care for me even when trials and difficulties arise? For nothing is impossible with God. You see, we talk about these stories every Christmas. And I think the reason we're going to keep talking about them is until we accept the truth that Mary was not forgotten, that Mary was chosen by God. And though we are not chosen for the same task, I'm pretty sure about that, God has a purpose for your life. And God is especially fond of you and has chosen you to make Jesus known to the whole world. You see, Christmas is for everyone. And my prayer for you is that you would trust in the God in which nothing is impossible with him. So I just want to pray with you, pray for you. And for some of you right now, you might say, you know what, this Christmas, I've been going through all this, but I don't know if I've done it with God. And things have seemed pretty impossible right now. And so I just want to pray for you. And if today's the day you say, God, I want to do this with you, for nothing is impossible with God, just let me know that. And I just want to pray for you especially. So let's just pray. So Lord Jesus, I just pray this day that we would see that just as you reached out to Mary and changed her life with this incredible plan, so you reach out to us. And Lord, I pray today that we would see that nothing is impossible with God. And Lord, I just want to pray for people right now who just said, you know what? I've been trying to do this Christmas without God, and I want to do it with him. And if that's you, would you let me know that? Just raise your hand without anyone looking. Okay. Thank you. And Lord, I just pray that you would just now meet those people in this place of need. They would put their trust in you. That we would all put our trust in you and see that nothing is impossible with God. So Jesus, thank you for the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I want you to stay as we just sing this one more song, and then